Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and this is a location on the internet where you will find that men who like to deal with the real issues that we have to face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound. We're all about offering hope and help for men in dealing with that those daily challenges. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The Word of God, it is the truth. It is life. And in the studio today, I have Steve with me today. Good to have you this morning, brother.
It is great to be with you again, Raul. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the opportunities that we have, that we give you, is to be able to write in an email so that we can answer that on our show, whether it's any day, Monday through Friday. And we actually answer it anonymously. We give you our experience. If it comes to mind, we usually will quote from the Bible on certain things. But it gives you a better idea of knowing that maybe you're just not alone and there is help out there. And so this morning, before we get, you know what, just to let you know, the meat of the topic today, I've got Steve. We're still in James, and I love it, man. We're talking about men and about men dealing with, you know, just life in general. And I'm having the same problem I did yesterday morning with Felix, man. I got my tongue's getting in the way here. So fire off on that email, brother. Maybe I can get a little straightened on that.
Well, what we're going to be talking about, Raul, here in a little bit from the book of James is standing strong in the day of battle. Which is a subject that applies to all of us, particularly men, but men, women, children, teenagers, across the board. Before I read this email, I want to ask you a question this morning. Has there ever been a time in your life when other people looking at you, people you know, people you worked with, was there ever a time in your life when people would have looked at you and said, Raul is a hopeless cause?
I grin and say, that's absolutely true, yes. I have had that, and just chalk me off, basically.
Let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time in your life when you felt like you were a hopeless cause?
More times than I'd like to remember.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that many of us can go back in our personal history, mm-hmm. And there were times when our lives... When it looked like there was absolutely no hope,
yep,
that we would ever change.
Right.
Well, with that in mind, let me read this morning's email.
Okay.
This brother writes, I feel like just giving up on my dad, pretty much to the point of where I could say he's never going to heaven and will never change. He's a mean, angry, spiteful, self-centered person with no moral compass. Like, I don't mean to be the negative or anything, but more court stuff is going down, and he never seems to want to stop being a jerk. Yet in his mind, everything he does is totally appropriate. It stumps me. I feel like he's just a lost cause that only God can work on. What would you say to this brother this morning?
Well, I will say this, is that it's always within us that we end up having, I think, the truth or the answer or the solution. If we just listen to a brother long enough, it usually comes out. It came out in his last statement here. He said something about that only God can work on. You know, I'll change that a little bit. Only God can change. You know, this is, I think it's cool that you sent this in, brother. You know, one of the things I know is that I cannot change people, places, or things. I can't do anything about any situation. The only thing, if I have any type of control over, it's my attitude, my willingness to either say I'm going down this path or that path. It's making choices. But to be able to make someone else do something, it's just not going to work. Every time I was on the other end, and I'll say in this case here, where I was on your father's end of experiencing that, that there were those who just did not look at me as sitting there saying, you know what, do you not get it? Do you not see it? You know, I ended up feeling so much pressure, not only from the people and family around me, that I needed to get my life together. I had it on myself. You know, I beat up myself more than anybody else can ever say or do to me. What I ended up doing in the midst of my alcoholism and my self-absorption is that I actually did a geographic. I moved from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Bellingham, Washington. I went as far north as I possibly could in the United States. Now, circumstances kind of allowed that to be able to take place so that there was some sort of reasoning behind it. But I knew what I was doing. I was leaving so that I didn't have to deal with all the stuff I had back there. Little did I realize when I arrived in Bellingham, Washington, at that U-Haul trailer, that 24-foot U-Haul trailer, and back in the day when you could actually put a car in there and haul it, it was legal then. I had my Volkswagen convertible, my six-month-old daughter, and my wife at the time. And we get here to Bellingham, it's like when I unloaded the back end, I lifted that gate of the back end of that 24-foot trailer. Little did I realize that I brought all those problems that I had with me back there. I still had some more experiencing I had to do as a result of my thinking when I got here. But my point being is that, you know what, it sounds like your father has, obviously there's some pain, there's some hurt, there's some challenges that you've had thrown in front of you. He's not the dad that you wanted him to be. He's not the one that you sit there, listen, he doesn't have to be the best dad around. I just need him to be better than what he is. And he's not falling into any of those avenues that you would love to be able to see about your dad. You just want to shake him, but that's not going to do any good, because I bet anything, you've had words with him, and he's probably told you to take a hike. But here's the deal. You hit it right on the head that only God can take care of this. And that's where your prayers come in, brother. That's where sometimes, in a sense, you have to back off. You don't have to put yourself in harm's way, but you just continue to pray. Prayer is where it counts, brother, and never stop. You know, I think I use an analogy a lot of times with guys when I tell them, I said, you know what, persevere in prayer. It's almost like the demolition of a building. You know how they end up drilling holes into certain parts of the concrete and the foundation so that, and they put in the dynamite, and then at a given time when all of that is done, then they fire off the trigger and this thing collapses just the way it's supposed to. I believe that's the way it is in our prayers for certain situations. I don't know how much I need to keep drilling and how many pieces of dynamite I need to put in, but I think God will be the one to pull the trigger when it's all ready. I just have to be perseverant and just continue to pray and hope. Here's the most important thing, is that my relationship, in this case yours, with him, You want to solidify that. The more you come to know him, the more he's going to reveal himself to you, the more you'll be able to understand and not just tolerate your dad, but maybe even accept him just where he's at today. Because God loves him just like God loves you. There you go.
Scripture makes it clear that when we are without God, we really are without the Lord.
Yes.
And to the point of being very religious, we look at the Apostle Paul, who previously was known as Saul, and we have very clear descriptions of moments in his life when he looked as far from Christianity or faith in Jesus or a follower of Jesus as a person could possibly be, even to the point of being a murderer, mm-hmm. and standing by and approving of the death of Stephen and pursuing and persecuting other Christians. Many of us can look back to points in our lives when someone would have said, there's no way that person will ever become a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus when he's at the home of Simon the Pharisee. He's been invited to dinner, and Simon brought him in. Obviously, he was curious. And the scripture says a woman of the city came in and stood at the feet of Jesus and wept. And Simon said in his heart, he said that. He said, this is a woman of the city. If Jesus was really a prophet, he'd know what kind of person was touching him, because she was weeping, drying his feet with her hair, and actually then poured perfume, a beautiful fragrance which filled the room, which is an expression of worship, which is a subject for another day. But she looked to those in the room like a person very, very far from God. But she came to that moment where she saw in Christ the answer to her sinful condition. And of course, Jesus saw her heart and said, your sins are forgiven. But he said this to her, or he actually said it to Simon. He said, Simon, if one man owed 50 denarii and another man owed 500, and the person to whom they owed it forgave them both, which one do you suppose would love them the most? And Simon said, why, certainly the one who was forgiven the most. And Jesus made the point. He said, this woman, her sins are many. She loveth much because she's been forgiven much.
Yes.
And I think that's true for a lot of us in our brokenness and those wasted years of our lives. When it looked like we would never get free from our sin and that destructive track that we were on.
Yes.
But Jesus reaches into our darkness, and it's a miracle. It's an deliverance from God through faith in Christ is an absolute, it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And that miracle can reach into the darkest situation, the most devastating kind of sinful brokenness.
Yes.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit, transform our hearts. And the Bible says we become new creatures. So I would encourage this brother, and I understand, and this is beautifully written, and this is a level of pain that many people carry with a family member who is living a destructive life. And people who are in pain hurt the people around them.
Yes.
And that's obviously what this brother is experiencing. But turn him over to the Lord. There comes a point, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's talking about a brother who has become immoral, and he says, turn him over to Satan so that his sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And there's a principle in that, that when these people are in trouble, stop rescuing them, stop helping them, stop enabling them, stop easing their pain. If they want the world, and the Lord says this to us. He says, you know what? If you want the world, go and get your fill of it.
Yep.
And when you wake up in the pig pen and you're spiritually starving and you're away from the Father's house, when you finally come to your senses and you're ready to repent and return, this is a God who will receive us.
Amen.
So, love your dad. You may have to love him from a distance. Let the consequences of his sin overtake him, but never lose sight of the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, and that grace is life transforming.
Amen. Amen. Woo! There you go, brother. Thank you for sending that email in to us, and blessings to you. We're going to be right back. We're going to get, we're going to unleash James once again in the studio. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I'm Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me. And, you know, we are just, man, we're just kind of enveloping James right now. We have been for a couple weeks, and it'll probably be a couple more weeks as Steve is on here. We're going to just kind of keep going at this because, I tell you, there's an awful lot here. It's in the Word of God. And but James has been teaching us a few things, and if nothing else, reminded me of just how I cannot rely on me and how important it is that I need to realize that there is an enemy, and that enemy is the one who always wants to make sure that I am not drawing any closer to God. And if I am, that he's going to do everything he can to deter me, to take me off track, to, to take me out, basically, is what it boils down to. And but we're here to try to help men to equip themselves to know that this is the way to do it. And here's some of the things that can be done. So where are we at today, brother?
Well, today we're going to focus on James chapter 4 and a little bit of the end of James chapter 3. But the word today is two. That's kind of our theme, two. James chapter 3 tells us that there are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that comes from above, and there's the wisdom that comes from this world, which the scripture tells us is sensual, earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. So there are two different tracks. And of course, when a person feels like they've tapped into wisdom, they have a sense that they know what is most important to know. So basically, you can think, Scripture's telling us, you can think you're right and be completely wrong.
Right.
If the source of your wisdom is coming up from the wrong direction. In James chapter 4, the Scripture starts, and it tells us there's basically two kinds of motives, two reasons or two ways to approach God and ask for things. We either ask out of a sincere, genuine heart that wants to bring glory to God, or we ask because the Bible says we have wrong motives and we're asking for things that we can receive that James says we spend on our pleasures. So there's the basically the spiritual side of life where Jesus is crowned as Savior and Lord. And then there's the temporal side of life where we don't see beyond our own natural appetites and desires. And so having pointed out the fact that there's two kinds of wisdom and there's two motives for praying or seeking God, and in both cases, one is focused on the lordship of Jesus, the other is focused on ourselves. James says this, and this is powerful language, James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." So here we see two kinds of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two kinds of wisdom. We have two kinds of motives, and now we have two kinds of friendship, friendship with the world or friendship with God. Verse 5 says, "Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely?" And notice the words, "the Spirit he caused to live within us."
Mm-hmm.
We are, the Bible says we have this treasure in jars of clay.
Right.
That God has, in his bringing us into the family, filled us with his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us, obviously, is always in perfect harmony and perfect fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. There's a oneness there that's never broken. And when we go the wrong direction, that provokes the Holy Spirit. It's like he starts saying, "Whoa, wait a minute. This is the wrong kind of wisdom that you're seeking here, or this is the wrong motive. Or you're making friends with the world when you could be making friends with God." Then the Scripture tells us, verse 6, "But he gives more grace," which is why the Scripture says, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now we're going somewhere with this, and we're just about there. Grace, we know, is unmerited favor.
Yes.
But another expression of grace is when God gives us the power and the desire to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you and I, without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, would not have the power, would not have the desire to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. Now, that being true, read verse 7 for me.
Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Okay, who are we going to resist?
The devil.
All right. So, you see where this is going. We have two kinds of wisdom.
Right.
Two kinds of motives.
Right.
Two kinds of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this may seem like somewhat of an oversimplification, but we're men. And
That's right. We've
got to have it straight up.
Got to have it straight up.
So, there are two sources. So, we have two kinds of wisdom, two kinds of motives, two kinds of friendship. And we also have two sources of power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you, how does a man experience power from Satan?
I think there's a lot of disruption in our head as a result, and in our body as a result of that.
Well, and that's it. What does he empower?
Evil. For us to actually, darkness, impurity, sin.
Okay. So two kinds of wisdom.
Right.
Two kinds of motives when we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Two kinds of friendship. Two sources of power.
Right.
In the spiritual realm, God's power, Satan's power. And you and I have two natures.
Hmm.
A new nature
and a sinful nature.
And an old nature.
Yeah.
So we know that the enemy is going to empower. Satan has no power over our new nature,
because
our new nature is in fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So when the scripture says, you know, stay in step with the Spirit, we're talking about being in agreement with the Holy Spirit. The place of agreement is a place of power.
Right.
But so if we go for the wrong kind of wisdom, if we pray with the wrong kind of motive, if we make friendship with the world, the Bible says we become an enemy of God.
Right.
Who's empowering us to do that?
The enemy.
Okay.
The devil.
And what's that like? I mean, am I going down the wrong track, or is this a real conflict in the lives of men?
Well, it is, because a lot of times we're so distressed in a certain sense. I'm not even sure if it's conscious in some cases, because we actually end up desiring to do things of the flesh in secret.
Okay. And when you say flesh,
yes.
Another way of saying that is your old nature or your fallen nature.
Yes.
Correct.
In the old nature. Try to do that in secret so that others don't see it. We want them to see the good side, or what we'd like for them to think that we are, or maybe what we truly desire, but there's such a part of us, and Paul talks about that, I keep doing the same things over and over again, not desiring to do that, but yet I still do that, and how do I be rid of this? And here in James, he gives us the answer, though.
Well, so frequently then, our struggle, or consistently we could say, our struggle is between our old nature and our new nature.
Yes.
And don't we just wish that when we came to Christ, our old nature completely went away?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I heard sermons when I was first born again that would lead me to believe that, you know, now that you're a Christian, the old nature's gone. And so when temptation would pop up, I would wonder what was wrong with me.
Yes.
But I hadn't read Romans chapter 8 yet. I hadn't read Romans chapter 7 yet. I hadn't discovered that there's a struggle between the old and the new.
Right.
So we could say the battle line this morning for every man is drawn to determine which nature is going to prevail, that there are two sides of it. So today, if you need wisdom, and James tells us here in the very beginning, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it. Mm-hmm. But let him ask in faith. Don't let him be double-minded.
Right.
Go to the right source. Mm-hmm. But today you and I are going to need wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we're either going to turn to the Lord for that wisdom and go God's way, or we're going to turn to our old nature
and
go man's way.
Right.
And the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You and I are going to pray today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pray either with a motive where the central focus is to bring glory to Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
or we're going to pray so that we can get things, James says, so that you can consume it on your own lusts and passions, mm-hmm. your human desires. Mm-hmm. We're either going to be friends with Jesus,
right,
or we're going to be friends with the world.
Yep.
And so there are two sides here, and you and I are in the middle, and we've got to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that God gives grace. He gives grace to the humble.
Right.
So we could say there are two postures described here, one of humility and one of pride. Mm-hmm. And every man, every day, we're going to stand right in the middle. And every morning, you and I, we make a decision, whether consciously or unconsciously, whether we're going to tap into God's power and live today in spiritual victory, mm-hmm. Or whether we're going to yield to our old nature and go through life doing things the way we always used to do it and the way the world does it. And James is saying, listen, if you're going to be friends with the world, you're getting on the wrong side of this. Right. You are going to be an enemy of God. Now, that's strong language.
Yes. But on some of this, too, as a guy, so to speak, old ways die hard. Okay, when there is fear, when there are challenges, when there are decisions that have to be made, sometimes we always rely, and I'll speak for myself, I've relied on how I used to deal with things. They don't fit any longer. It's kind of trying to like putting gears together and they just don't mesh. It's not going to work. I've either got to make a decision, go on that old way of doing things, which never seemed to work, or now I know it's in response to my accepting Jesus, okay, as being my new manager of my life, to now all of a sudden realizing that the new way is, that's really scary. I'm not sure how that's going to work. See, my old way, I've done it over and over again. So it became very natural for me to go to that. And it still does today. But not to be drawn in and say, hey, listen, yes, not to give you any excuses to go ahead and screw up, because truly, we still have to make that decision to do that.
Absolutely. And you and I both know that the old way, it may have worked in the short term, but it never worked in the long term.
That's right.
In fact, trouble just begat more trouble, which yep. begat more trouble.
Yes.
And things, you know, may have seemed to, I mean, you may have lied and got yourself out of a situation, and that may have seemed to improve your state for the moment, but that only led to more trouble, which led to more trouble.
Right.
So, and we know that from our experience. But James is writing to Christian men here. He's writing to people who have come to the cross and surrendered their lives, and he's saying, listen, don't get trapped by the enemy in this old pattern of living and believing. And he uses, and the reason I think James is such a great book for men, because James uses strong language. Mm-hmm. He's saying, listen, men, if you're gonna, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's two kinds of motives. There's two kinds of friendship. And if you come down on the wrong side of this spiritually, you're putting yourself back over in the enemy's camp. You're going to be an enemy of God. Now, yes. And you don't want to be an enemy of God. He's put his Holy Spirit in us, and that Holy Spirit is jealous over us and drawing us into the Father's presence. Mm-hmm. And so we're standing here in the day of battle, in the moment of decision, and James is saying, listen, yield yourself to God, surrender to God, keep turning towards the Lord, and notice that he says, humble yourselves.
Yes.
There in verse 10. He gives grace to the humble. He uses that word humble twice, humble yourselves. In other words, don't struggle in your own old nature,
yes,
but just turn to God and say, Lord, I humble myself before you. Mm-hmm. And I love what James says here. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and we're going to talk about that after the break, and he will flee from you. But look at verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you.
Yep.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, absolutely.
Draw near to God. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you don't have the strength to stand. You don't have the compass to navigate through the fog that the enemy's trying to put in front of you. Mm-hmm. But just submit yourself to God. Humble yourself. Draw near
yes.
to the Father. And the promise is, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So the moment we turn towards the Lord, he's not pushing us away. He's drawing us towards his Father heart mm-hmm. and embracing us.
Mm-hmm. I just want to hang on to the hem of his cloak as he is going yeah. through. I can't yeah. see him, but I can. I know he's there. I just have to stay right behind him. He will give, I mean, what a promise. Promises that actually that we yep. receive as a result of just humbling ourselves to him. And then he's going to give us everything that we need. Everything we need to get through this situation.
Yes.
It may not all of a sudden take care of everything, but we're going to get everything we need today to get yep. through this situation. When we come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and, man, we're just going to keep going on. We're going to get out of that fog. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when he found me here. And I was broken beyond repair. Then you
listen to that music. I love that song. Well, you're welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And, you know, we're talking about, we're in James. I was just telling Steve here at the break. I said, you know, there's a portion of this that I've discussed here with some guys here this last week. And that's verse 7 of in there where he says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I can't tell you how long I've been reading James, but for whatever reason, it seems like when I'm wanting to resist the devil, that's what I attempt to do, but I forget all about what it says here. Submit yourselves then to God. Okay? I have to submit to him. I have to bring it to him, and in turn, what ends up happening, he empowers me, he gives me the grace, he gives me all that's needed, that's necessary to be able to resist the devil. See, when I go against the devil, he's going to kick my butt every time. I am not that strong. It doesn't matter. It's not a physical strength. I'm just not able to do that. He's going to just take me to lunch every time I end up doing that. And it's not going to be a good lunch. So I need to remember about submitting to God, bringing my weaknesses to the cross, saying, Lord, here I am, use me, every bit of me, the good and the bad. Father, I submit it all to you. And guess who the enemy is going to meet down there at the crosses? He's trying to get to my weaknesses. He knows what they are. And I bring him to the Lord. Guess who he's going to meet? Ha ha! Then we can sit back and watch the action. So anyway, there you go.
That's so true, Raul. So true. So what we have this morning is James tells us, he's saying, listen, men, there are two kinds of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
There's wisdom that comes from God, and then there is earthly wisdom, unspiritual, and of the devil. Uh-huh. It's full of selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil practice. Uh-huh. James tells us there's two motives. He says, why aren't you getting what you ask for when you ask?
Uh-huh.
And he says, well, you're asking for the wrong motive. You're not asking for the glory of God,
right,
for the expansion of the kingdom, for the ministry of Christ's care to others. You're asking that you might receive, that you might consume it on your own lust. In other words, you're focused on temporary things. You're not seeing with the eye of the Spirit. James tells us there's two kinds of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be either a friend of God or you're going to be a friend of this world. A.W. Tozer said there's actually two crosses, and I want to talk about this sometime in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. There's the new cross and the old cross, and the new cross has made friends with the world, but the old cross, the one that Jesus actually died on, brings us to the death of self so that we might be resurrected on the other side and live a new life filled with the Spirit. And, but we won't go there today, but I'm excited about visiting that subject one of these days. Scripture tells us here that there's two attitudes of heart, that your attitude of your heart is either one of pride, and God opposes the proud, or it's an attitude of humility, and that God gives grace to the humble. Tells us here there's two kinds of power,
right.
God's power and Satan's power. Tells us here that there are two different directions, and here's the key to what we're talking about this morning for men. Mm-hmm. How do you stand in the day of battle? Well, there are two different directions, one that leads to death, one that leads to life. We're talking to Christian men now, and Scripture says, God says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So if we'll humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have the strength to stand. I'm not strong enough to stand, but I admit that, and I turn towards you so that you can fill me with your Spirit, and I stand in Jesus' name. So if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Now, here's the thing. But if you draw near to Satan, guess what?
Yes. Yeah, he draws further away.
It doesn't get better. It gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
You just get that thing that the enemy wants to take you captive with will just get stronger and stronger and stronger because you're getting closer and closer and closer to the wrong kind of power.
Right.
And when it's got a hold of you,
right,
you're in trouble.
And that comes in different variations of what that looks like. I mean, when you're sharing what you're talking about there, of having to die to self, in a sense, of not necessarily having to be right. See, the circumstances we're talking about, we're not talking about actually sitting there, whether I should look at a lustful woman or look at a woman lustfully or whatnot. We're talking about everything.
Well, yeah, and don't make the mistake of thinking that we're just talking in that small arena.
Right.
I mean, the sins of the heart. You know what? It's going to be a day of battle for some men because they are going to be challenged to not give in to resentment and bitterness,
right,
which will harden your heart just as fast as anything else that you'll experience in life. Then they're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to forgive that person and let it go? And they're going to say in that moment, I don't have the strength to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them.
Right.
But the Bible, James is saying, listen, in that moment, draw near to God.
Right.
Humble yourselves. Right. In fact, he says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Grieve and mourn and wail and change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. And that's the context there is
right.
You're tempted to be bitter and resentful, and you forget how God has forgiven you, and you don't have the power to forgive.
Yes.
But the moment you humble yourself and say, Lord, you know what? Everything within me wants to hate that person, resist that person, hurt that person, wound that person. I don't have the power, but I humble myself, and I admit that that's the way my old nature is, and I draw near to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, our new nature in Christ takes dominance over our old nature, but the power is coming from God. It's not coming from us. We're not any better than we were before. That's the
right.
point that
right.
James is making.
Right.
It's everything coming from God. It's nothing coming from us. We're empty vessels. We're either going to yield ourselves to God, or if we go the opposite direction, then we get pulled over here into Satan's camp. And that bitterness and that resentment just get stronger and stronger.
Yes.
We use the wisdom of this world. We use the motives of this world. We walk in pride instead of humility. I mean, you see the pathway there is, James is making it very clear.
Right.
And he's saying, listen, humble yourselves and be broken before the Lord. If you'll do that, He will lift you up.
When we come back from the break, we're going to give you a few keys in our last little segment here, not necessarily to wrap it all up, but to give you a few keys on how to be able to find, seek that joy instead of the gloom. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? I don't want to miss what matters. I want to be reaching out. Show me the greater purpose so I can start living right now. Outside my own little world.
Ooh. All right. Back on Band of Brothers Radio, we're in the book of James, and boy, I tell you what, James kind of pounds it right between the eyeballs to the believers, to all of us, and encourages us to drop our old way, our old behavior, and seek the new way, which at times seems to be more difficult. And it is, but we have to remember why it is that we are leaving the old behavior, because it did not work for us. It created even more pain for us, even though it's scary and fearful, not knowing what's going to take place if I don't do it like I used to, you know? So,
well, you're right, Raoul. James is a powerful message to Christians. In fact, a lot of us would be very uncomfortable if Brother James was to preach the sermon on Sunday morning. We would be squirming in our seats. Listen to his language, verse 4, you adulterous people. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to us. He's talking to the believers. Yeah. Verse 1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? I mean, he drives it home. Mm-hmm. But if you look more closely, you'll recognize that James also preaches a powerful message of grace.
Yes.
Grace and truth, the scripture says, came to us through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that we are hopeless and helpless in our fallen condition, but that God so loved the world that he sent his son, and that Jesus came to rescue us from our sins, to deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into his kingdom. Scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come.
Yes.
That the Bible tells us that Jesus, this Paul wrote, that he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that you and I have been given standing with God. We are sons purchased by the atoning sacrifice. We've been adopted into the family. We're blood washed. The slate has been washed clean. So there's no question about our love relationship with the Lord, that he loves us, that he cares for us, and that he watches over us. But now, James is saying, blessed is the man that perseveres when he's under trial, that we're going to be tested, that we're going to go through moments. And in that moment, you and I are going to have to stand. And when we do, we've got to choose. We're going to have God's wisdom. We're going to have the world's wisdom.
Yeah.
This is what James is saying. He says, listen, he's just laying it out for us. There are two motives when you pray. You're going to pray with a right motive, out of brokenness of will and mighty in spirit, so you can serve God, or you're going to pray, go through the religious motions trying to get stuff for the wrong reasons. There's two kinds of minds. You can have the mind of Christ. You can have the mind of this world. Mm-hmm. Two kinds of friendship. You're going to be a friend of God today. Be a friend of the world. Mm-hmm. Are you going to yield to God? And here it is. Are you going to yield to the devil? Mm-hmm. Because the enemy goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants, Jesus said he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to ruin your life. Mm-hmm. He wants to harden your heart towards God. He wants to distort the truth and lead you down a pathway of destruction. He wants to do anything he can to keep God from getting the glory for the love he has shown us in Christ. Mm-hmm. So James is simply saying, listen, man, today, in that moment when you're tested, draw near to God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Humble yourself, and if you'll draw near to God, he will draw near to you.
And part of that drawing near is that you may wonder, how do I do that? Here you do it. Here's a couple of suggestions, brother. One is that first and foremost, get on your knees, submit yourself to the Lord and ask him wherever you're at. Nobody is going to just go, wow, look at what this guy is doing. But you submit yourself to the Lord. Okay? Ask him directly. Get into his word. Open your Bible. Get into the book of John. Read the promises. Okay, that he leaves there for us. Seek another brother who is seeking God also. Make contact with them. Be encouraged. Come together as a group. You know, when you are collectively as a group of men, whether it's a platoon or a squad, you're very powerful if you're all seeking the Lord. If you're all seeking together, you encourage each other and being able to keep maintaining that focus, which should be on him. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your presence in our lives. Father, I pray that we would be, our hearts would be pierced with your grace and your love, knowing that, Father, you are the true light, Father, that you are life for us. We ask for a blessing on all my brothers and sisters who are listening, in Jesus' name. Brother, know this, that there is hope, and you are not alone.